This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us live in studio, and no, it's not Tuesday, and no, we're not talking about growth and development. This is a little town. It's a nice, Charlottesville is in many ways a little village, and we all wear many hats. You know, regular listeners know that I actually work at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at UVA, and I'm very proud to do so. And then I come over here in the afternoons and put on my radio show hat. Brian Wheeler wears his Charlottesville Tomorrow hat, which tracks growth and development in Central Virginia. But sometimes he puts on another hat, and that is as chairman of the Albemarle County School Board. And you are here with that hat on today.
Glad to be here, Coy. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you, Chairman.
Sometimes on Tuesdays, I'm just busting to talk about schools.
I know you are.
But we have that rule.
I know
and in
you
fact,
are.
It's true with Charlottesville Tomorrow. All the work we do, we don't cover school issues because of my role in the county.
Yeah, that would be a conflict of interest. It would be difficult to do.
Yes.
Yeah, to cover your other hat.
But I'm free and clear today.
Well, that's good, because we usually sometimes talk about school board issues during the break on Tuesdays, but today we can talk about it on the air and get your thoughts about what's going on with the Albemarle County schools and the budget. We were just talking with Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University about the governor's State of the Commonwealth address tonight, which, of course, the big issue right now with the General Assembly starting tomorrow in session 2009 tomorrow will be the budget, which they're saying could be more than $3 or possibly $4 billion off. Just amazing. They're looking at some very serious cuts. The governor is proposing doubling the cigarette tax. How does this? Y'all are already, and probably for months, have been having meetings about this stuff, Brian. Give us your perspective on this issue from where you sit on the school board.
We're in the thick of it. I mean, this is a long process, pulling the budget together. You know, it actually starts as soon as you finish one budget, you start working on the next one. So our staff were working on the budget last summer. The first real meetings with the school board, besides our retreat and setting our goals and things like that, we meet jointly with the Board of Supervisors in October and review compensation goals. So that's really the first direction to the superintendent of schools and to Bob Tucker, the county executive, that says where the elected officials are thinking about compensation. And then we got the budget request from Dr. Moran, our superintendent, in December, the same day that Governor Kane released his budget. Albemarle County, my guess would be, was the first school division in Virginia to put their funding request on the table. Our process has moved earlier over the past couple of years. So we have to put a funding request out there before we really even know what the state is going to do. We have to make some estimates about that. Right now, we're projecting about a $3.2 million hit from the state in our funding. And as you said, it may get worse in the course of the General Assembly.
So you're working with a $3.2 million, of getting less, $3.2 million less than you were expecting.
Right.
Wow. That's a lot of money for Albemarle County schools. Can you just sort of, let's step back for a minute, and for folks who aren't familiar with this particular school district, one of the biggest in Virginia, give us an idea of what we're talking about when we say Albemarle County schools, like how many schools, how many people, that kind of stuff.
It is about people. It's about 2,300 employees. That's how many people work for Albemarle County Public Schools.
I didn't know it was that many.
So we're one of the biggest businesses in Central Virginia, certainly one of the biggest government entities in Central Virginia. So it's a big business. This funding request is about $149 million for next school year. We have about 12,500 students in Albemarle County. We're watching to see if that's going to grow. If people are going to opt out of private schools, there may be some inflation in our numbers. We're seeing that nationwide, some reports right now that people are making a mid-year change. You know, some people here locally, we've got great choices in schools, and I'm not suggesting there's any reason people might leave.
Yeah.
But the economy is certainly one factor
that
may influence people.
People might want to pull their kids out of a private school in bad times and put them in a public school.
We have 26, 27 schools, depends how you count it. We have three comprehensive high schools, Charlottesville, or not Charlottesville, Monticello, Albemarle, and Western Albemarle are our three. City of Charlottesville is a separate school division. And then we've got one thing we're really proud of is we have two charter schools. We have half of the charter schools in the state of Virginia.
In Albemarle County.
Yes. One of them, most of the community knows about, Murray High School, just celebrated its 20th anniversary. And then we have a brand new charter school that started this year, the Community Charter Public School, which is located just up the street from WINA at Burley Middle School, which happens to be in the city. So we have a middle school located in the city of Charlottesville.
Interesting.
But the charter, the community charter school is a arts-infused middle school. So this is a curriculum designed for students who are at risk, who may have, you know, been had the potential to fall through the cracks and not been successful in school. And this is an opportunity to have smaller classes, a different kind of curriculum. The staff are freed up from some of the traditional requirements that our teachers have to follow.
Keep kids in school, hopefully keep them interested, find something to excite their passion.
Get them engaged. Yeah. And arts is being used in this curriculum as a way to really engage them.
Yeah. And that's been shown across the country that that actually can work with young kids like that.
And Albemarle County, I'm very proud to say, is interested in trying different things. And the folks with that school came to the table with some money, which certainly helped. They had a federal grant, and we were able to help get them started. Just sixth grade this year, they plan to expand to seventh and eighth and build that out as a full middle school.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, chairman of the Albemarle County School Board and a longtime resident here in Central Virginia. So continue now your thoughts about the budget and what you think is important that folks keep in mind.
Let's focus on some positive things, because there are some good things in this budget process. And I think one of the things is that we are keeping the focus on student success. We want all of our students to be successful in the classroom. This budget and where we're heading as an organization supports that. We're also keeping that focus on our strategic plan and goals. This board has been very consistent. We've had consistent leadership with Dr. Moran as our superintendent. So we know where we want to take this division, and I think we can say we are definitely on that track. And we're building on that leadership strength that we have, both at the board level with our superintendent and with staff throughout the division, whatever department they are in. In the end, after we get through this budget process and we have this budget in place, I am convinced that we will have a stronger and more efficient, more purposeful school division. So I think those are all good things.
Yeah.
Sometimes faced with economic challenges, it makes you work harder, work smarter, do things better.
Good things can happen.
Good things can happen.
In bad economic times.
And I want to try to celebrate some of those things, because we're going to do some good things in this budget. And hopefully we can get to a few of them.
And at the end of the day, you have a lot of good teachers who get up and go to work and make good things happen for good kids who are trying really hard. And that's the one number one thing, as far as I'm concerned, you should never forget about what's happening in the classroom. There's good kids in there trying really hard. There are good teachers in there who are trying really hard too.
We do have great teachers all over the division. That said, we are raising the bar on what we're asking them to do. But it's not just us. It's the federal government. It's the state government. Everyone is saying, hey, you know, high-stakes testing, standards-based learning, those things are not going away. President Obama is not going to make those things go away. And there's some good things about having high standards and having kids pass tests. And if it's a good test, it's okay to teach to that test. But we're trying to get our students way beyond the standards of learning, the Virginia test. That's the minimum threshold we want to get everyone over. We want to see how far beyond that we can take our students and really challenge
them. Right.
So our teachers, though, have to make that happen. And that's where the real work of the division takes place. That's what Dr. Moran, in her funding request, is trying to really support. What sort of professional learning environment do they need? Our employees need professional development. They need to work as teams. You can't work in a silo anymore as a teacher and just do your own thing and, you know, pass the kids on to the next grade and hope everything works out. We have teachers working in teams vertically, you know, through the grades to make sure the curriculum all lines up, that what you teach in one grade naturally flows into the next.
Yeah.
Part of that's because of the test that we have to take, but it's also because it makes sense. You don't want to reteach things, and you want to teach things at the right time and in the right sequence. So it is very important what our teachers are doing, and this budget supports that work, but it does so in in some ways, and it doesn't do it in other ways. And by that, I mean compensation. We are not raising compensation this year. So our budget is smaller this year, as proposed by Dr. Moran. It's about $2.2 million less than the current school year. That's about a 1.5% decrease. And the main reason is we're not giving anyone a raise. In these economic times, the school board...
Administration and classroom.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody is getting a raise. Superintendent's not getting a raise, as proposed in the budget.
Yeah.
And the Board of Supervisors was on the same page. So it's true for local government as well. Now, there's some concern there, because if the market shifts in future years, we may have to catch up further. But right now, I think everyone's in the same boat. Very few governments in Virginia are going to be giving raises this year.
Yeah.
But that's a challenge, you know, because we're asking our employees to do a lot. They're traveling a long distance because most of them don't live in this community. They can't afford to.
Yeah. Spend a lot of money on gas just to get to the
school.
That's
right. So yeah. Last year, that was a big concern. Something we'll keep an eye on. But there are no new initiatives in this funding request. It's a lean, mean funding request. And I use that word, and somebody said, Brian, boy, I bet you wish you could take that back. That quote was in the Daily Progress, lean and mean. But I'm okay with that. You know, that's a phrase that people use to describe something that's trying to be as efficient and smart as possible, in my mind.
The mean part doesn't mean cruel. It just means, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, some people aren't going to be happy with some of the cuts.
Well, who wouldn't want a raise?
But we're making some difficult choices here.
I'm certain you have people out of, you know, over 2,000 employees, you probably have a lot of people this year who absolutely deserve a raise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the merit pool is not going to be there to reward the performance of a classified employee who would otherwise be eligible for that.
Yeah.
But we've got a very courageous superintendent who's worked well with her team and made some tough choices and pushed forward on those recommendations that we got in our resource utilization study in 2007. So we're seeing coming to the table in this funding request cuts, reductions. We could have said, hey, just no raises, keep everything flat, don't do anything different, and we'll see if we can hold on till the economic climate improves. But that's not what Dr. Moran did. Dr. Moran said, we can do better, we can work smarter, so here's where I'm going to make reductions. For example, the transportation department, that was heavily focused on in the resource utilization study. It is 11% smaller than last year.
Wow, that's a cut.
And it's because we've got new efficiencies in place. 7 positions are being eliminated from that department. So that's the type of thing you're seeing in this funding request. We're following up on those recommendations. City of Charlottesville has just gotten their resource utilization study. So they are just entering this process. We had the advantage of doing it back in 2007. So now we've got our second funding request that's got these initiatives in place.
Yeah. So this new budget reflects that utilization study, and this is an example in the transportation department where you've figured out where to cut 11% of the previous.
That's right. And in central office, we cut $400,000 out of our central office last year. Over $1 million in cuts are proposed for this current year. There are a whole number of positions being eliminated or restructured to create a more efficient organization. We're taking a lot of the leadership that was in central office and really saying, what were they doing for instruction in the classroom, and how can we get them closer to the teachers that they need to be supporting? So there's some proposals related to that, which I think are very audacious. It's most people wouldn't think that you could have an idea to cut, 10 positions, $1 million, and restructure your central office and get it done in a couple months. For an organization our size, a government organization at that, this is like a fast company kind of, turn on a dime proposal. The school board heard the first description of it last night, and I was just blown away. And I said at the very end of it, I said, this is probably the most audacious proposal I've seen put on the table in the school division. And at the end, what our leaders were saying is, we think it's a smart thing to do no matter what the economic climate is. It just makes sense. We can restructure and redeploy these resources in a smarter way.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. He serves as chairman of the Albemarle County School Board and was recently reelected by his fellows on the school board into that position. He'll serve a second term. And we're honored to have him here with us live. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Your thoughts and your questions, now is the time. 877-977-1070. You got a question for Brian about Albemarle County Schools and this new budget proposal. We'd love to hear from you. Now is the time. Pick up the phone, 977-1070. Brian, what is the process like from here? Here we are, January, what is it, 14th? What's the process like as this moves forward?
At this point, the school board is having work sessions. We're having about two a week in January where we'll ask questions. Certainly our constituents are emailing us questions, and we get those in front of staff and get the answers. We're also seeking additional feedback from the public. So next week, we are having another telephone town hall meeting. That'll be on the 21st. If you've been called in the past for those, you will be called again, unless you told me not to call you again, and then you won't be. But a call will go out early next week reminding people that on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we'll be having these town hall meetings. We'll call 29,000 households at once, and we have a new vendor that's helping us with this technology, which is really great. It's a neat way to get people engaged who wouldn't otherwise come to a public meeting.
We played the WVTF story. I played that on this program,
yep.
The NPR story, about the town hall meetings. Very cool.
And we're going to use, I think the technology is better. We can do polls as we go through the call. We can sort of gauge, you know, what the audience is like. And it gives us a lot of good feedback. It's a way that the conversation can be bidirectional. They can challenge us with a question, and we can try to respond to it right there live for everyone.
In real time, yeah.
As opposed to a traditional public hearing where you have to go to a school, sign up, and then you get 3 minutes, you say your piece.
And then you have to stop, yeah, and sit down.
And then the people you're talking to don't respond to you.
Yeah, they just say, okay, next.
Yeah. So we think this technology is a much better way to do it. We will have that traditional public hearing January 27th at Burley Middle School.
January 27th, right here up the hill.
Right. Burley, so that'll Middle be School. The face-to-face public hearing. January 21st is our telephone town hall meeting.
And then what happens? The Board of Supervisors has to approve it? Or?
Then the school board has to vote on what they want their budget funding request to look like. We have to send a request to the Board of Supervisors. Here's what we think the school division needs. And then the Board of Supervisors takes that. Bob Tucker slides that into his overall county budget, and then the Board of Supervisors starts having work sessions in February where they look at the entire county budget.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they have to set a tax rate in April, and that tax rate will determine in part what revenues are available to schools and local government.
But this part of the county government, this part of the county's budget, the school board part, that's the biggest part, right?
It is the biggest part.
What percentage of the overall budget you think is the school board budget?
Oh, I want to say 60-something, 64%.
So it's definitely the biggest.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah. Wow. That's really something.
Well, again, we have 2,300 employees. It's a people-oriented business. You know, your previous guest was talking about what's going on in Richmond. And one of the challenges, and we're going to keep a very close eye on what happens with the General Assembly in Richmond and these budget cuts, one of our concerns is that some of the cuts coming out of Richmond, as recommended, may be of the permanent type. And while they may be framed as we're trying to protect the classroom and not do things that would harm you there, the problem is wherever they make a cut, we have to make adjustments, and they inevitably affect the classroom because we have to reassign resources, or we have to go to our local taxpayers and say, hey, the state just, you know, cut 139 positions that were state funded. Now we either have to eliminate those spots or make up the difference. And one of the proposals on the table, actually it was 133 support positions. So one of the proposals coming out of Richmond would lower by 36% our support staffing. Now, I guess you can make the argument that doesn't impact the classroom, but how do we make up that differential? Who's going to do that work?
That's work being done now by somebody.
Work being done now.
What is support staffing?
Well, these would be administrative positions primarily. Yep. So 133 support positions. We have 365 today. So that's one example. The state is right now not in a mode of telling us things we don't need to do anymore. They're telling us about money that's not going to be available to us.
Yeah.
So they're not pulling back on any of the mandates. One of the recent mandates was for every seventh grader to have a academic and career plan developed by a guidance counselor. So that was the mandate from State Board of Education, and no money came, you know, with that mandate. And it is a, you know, certain number of hours that our guidance counselors, who on average see 239 students in middle school,
a certain number of hours per kid required to draw up that plan.
That's right.
And you only have so many counselors.
And so many hours in the day, and they were already doing other things.
Wow, okay, I see.
So those are some of the specifics that, you know, we need to help the public understand that some of these cuts coming out of Richmond do have a direct impact here locally, and we're going to watch that very carefully.
Brian Wheeler is chairman of the Albemarle County School Board and was just reelected by his peers on the board to serve in that position for another term. Brian, appreciate all your work on the school board, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.